So in this episode of the podcast, I'm super excited because I get to chat with a dear friend, one of the smartest dudes I know. We've been friends for a long time, wrote a fantastic book years ago called The Six-Figure Musician. And you are going to catch us mid-conversation. His name is David Hooper. He's got a brand new book out called The Big Podcast. And what happened was is that we had scheduled this particular podcast utilizing his scheduling link. So I don't know if we're using my Zoom or we're using his Skype. I can't find him. So I start busting his chops early on about big time and me, but I decided to go ahead and leave that in there because, like I said, we're such good friends and I think you guys will get a kick out of it. So enjoy this episode of the podcast, especially if you are interested in doing podcasts. You're about to learn from one of the best. So first off, I just want to say welcome to the podcast. And before we jump into the episode, let me tell you a little bit about myself and what you can expect. I have been in the business now for coming up on 30 years. What we're going to talk about in this podcast are things that go on in my day-to-day life, whether it be as a manager, whether it be as a consultant, whether it be as someone who is creating products that's helping musicians all over the world. If there's something going on in the industry, we're going to talk about it. If there's a strategy that needs to be taught, we're going to talk about it. And if there's some way that I can help get you closer to your goal, then you are in the right place, because that's what we are going to talk about here on the Music Industry Blueprint Podcast. Now let's jump into the episode.
Helping you navigate the music industry, here's Rick Barker with the Music Industry Blueprint Podcast.
What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to find, like, about your audience, so I can give your audience good information.
Well, no, that's what I thought. So that's why I thought it was weird. You big time and me going, here's my schedule link, and here, fill out all the things that Dave wants to know. I'm like, okay, good for you, Dave.
No, I'm not trying to do that to you. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make sure that I come up fully prepared.
Right. So what you need to do is when you're going to be a guest on somebody else's podcast, is say, what system do you use? How do I, you know what I mean?
Well, I appreciate that. But yeah, I use Skype though, because I'm going through a studio that's set up for Skype.
Right.
And sure, I could certainly call in, or we could use Zoom or something like that. But for podcasting, most podcasters don't use Zoom. I mean, Zoom, I use Zoom for my conference calls for the coaching and everything, and it's a great system. But as far as like getting actually good audio quality, it's rare.
See, I mean, I get great audio quality from it. And the thing too is that for me, I'm not as concerned. I do a lot of my podcasts on my AirPods. So,
well, that's why this will be an interesting conversation, because I know that you're kind of they zig, I zag. So,
no, that's not how it is at all. I've done 116 episodes of this is what works for me and my audience. If I try to sit around and make it perfect, then right. I don't have as many episodes and I never get it out. And I think that's where everybody fails. Is nobody gives a shit about what mic someone's using for a podcast. Do we deliver quality information? That's what they want to know. Does the information that you give impact me? Not, hey, dude, you sound freaking great. What mic are you using?
Have we started? Because I can certainly talk to that.
Oh, you should talk. I record everything, brother. You know that.
Okay. So I'm talking right now, strangely enough, into a $60 microphone. It's the ATR 2100.
Got it.
Goes straight into the computer.
Yep.
And great. So it's $60. I've got in front of me, though, I'm in a studio with, I'm looking at a $400 microphone. I'm looking at a $300 processing unit, another $300 processing unit, probably a $400 mixing board. You know, I've got another, let's say, a couple thousand dollars in front of me.
Right.
$60 is going to get you where you want to go.
Correct.
Now, what I think that you should do, though, is honor your audience by giving them something that's somewhat of quality. It doesn't have to be perfect, but we're not talking on two cans and a string.
Well, no. And I think that today, with the way technology is, I'm talking on a Yeti Blue microphone.
Right.
Which,
and you actually sound very good for the Yeti, because the Yeti, sometimes people tend to crank up the gain.
Right.
And it can sound boomy.
No, I try not to. I mean, for a while there, I had the Rode Podcaster mic, the beautiful white one that came through, and it was starting to get distorted. I started running into issues with, a lot of these USB situations. When I'm riding in the car, sometimes I'll use a lapel mic. you know, because I always do tell people this too. We'll forgive poor video. We won't forgive poor audio.
And well, let's talk about riding in the car though.
Yeah.
Because considering it's a, forget the audio for a second, because the audio would be an issue because you've got road noise, you've got.
Yeah. Like, and if they know you're in the car, they accept that, you know, right, it's like music from a live show recording versus a studio recording. They know it's going to be different.
But do you feel that you can actually focus on the content as you're focusing on driving?
Yes.
Can I give you the musician
My book was written from the car. So yeah, I can. And I get tons of compliments on the book and I've sold hundreds and hundreds of copies. So yes,
okay,
I don't know that everybody's the same.
Let's say you got Freddie Mercury, who's a singer. Do you think Freddie Mercury could sing as well as he does if he were playing bass? Or if you were playing keyboards, in addition to singing.
I have no idea.
Do
Sting
it.
Does okay. Speaking of bass players and singers.
Fair enough, but if we're going to talk about like unbelievable singers, though, they focus on singing. And
right.
All I'm saying is this: I think that it's important to have a place where you do your work, and it's my opinion that the best work that you're going to do is someplace where you're focused. If you're going to say it, you might as well record it. And if you're going to record it, it might as well be done in a way that is going to be honoring your audience and also honoring your content.
Correct. So here's what I say is that I think that my audience wants what's going on in my head at some specific time and trying to remember what I'm thinking while to the point where I'm on. I have a commute. So I'm about 35 minutes, 45 minute commute. I can record. I can do whatever, but I think that if the podcasting world's going to continue to evolve, then we need to stop telling people that you need to do it in a studio, you need to do it with this, you need to do it with this. If your knowledge and your quality, your information, if it's solving problems, it's honoring your audience. So that's neither here nor there for me. But I mean, everyone's different. Some people work better the way you're describing. I don't. If I need to sit in the office and record it, I sit in the office and record it. If I'm out on the streets and I've got an opportunity to meet with someone that I'll never get a chance to grab to an office and grab in whatever, I don't care if I'm at the subway. If Richard Branson wants to talk to me on my voice recorder on my phone, I'm recording Richard Branson on the voice recorder on my phone, and that's going to go out to my audience. So
sure.
I think sometimes we have to play each situation different. You know, sometimes it just depends on everything is different. Like I said, every situation's different. I just did an interview with the folks from Song Trust. It was great. I was able to sit down in a quiet conference room. I was able to use my iRig lapel mic, give them an iRig lapel mic, run it right into my iPad, record it in voice recorder, and that's episode 116. You know, so I think every situation's different, but it's like, you know, people tell me, do Anchor. I can't do Anchor. It doesn't make sense for what it is that I do, but I think it's a great resource for the right.
Sure,
person.
I love Anchor. I think Anchor has its purpose. But again, you're not going to see Gimlet. You're not going to see some of the top podcasters using something like Anchor. It's a consumer product. I started a podcast on Anchor just because it was easy. I thought it was a great way for me to develop my hosting. But about 2 weeks later, I was like, I got to move to something else. It's not good for editing. And you and I have a different opinion on editing.
Yeah, I don't edit. I edit. I mean, I cut off the front and the back, but I don't edit in the middle of my conversation because I feel it's a conversation. And in real life, I can't say, hey, forget you just heard that. I laugh at it. But that's because, too, also, you got to remember, it's not fair for everyone else. I did 15 years of live radio. I'm used to talking on the fly. A lot of people aren't. So my mistakes are, it's like, yeah, I mean, if I start choking or start coughing, just like you excuse yourself from the room and you come back and start over, I will edit that out. But just little nitpicky breaths and things like that, I'm not about that. And that's why people feel when they talk to me. And that's what's important, Dave, about people understanding their audience. You know, my audience appreciates that. Some people's audiences wouldn't appreciate it. Some people's audience appreciates quality content. Sometimes my audience wants to correct my grammar on a damn email. You know, it's like, so everyone's audience is kind of different. And I think that's in order, because as I'm going to try to convince, maybe convince is the wrong word. If I'm going to try to show artists the power of podcasting, the more difficult I make it and the more perfect it has to be, the less likely they are to do it.
Well, I got that. But at the same time, let's say you've got an artist who's in the studio recording music.
Yep.
Do you auto-tune it? Do you put it on a grid? Now, you can obviously go overboard with those things. Sometimes the grid is going to make people nervous. It's too perfect. It doesn't sound human. And that's why they've got, you know, quantize or humanize or whatever the setting is to make it more human. You know, Garth Brooks never used auto-tune because he thought that it made him more human. He thought that the ear is going to know that it's a real performance as opposed to, you know, a studio performance. So I can understand that. But at the same time, you're not going to just get your realistic cassette recorder and release that. You're not going to be able to do that.
The technology today, there are no, I mean, the technology today, here's the world we live in. Okay. The world we live in today, and I work in the music business every day. So I can speak from this. It's hard enough to get people to post on their socials, which they should because they want everything to be perfect. If people see things visually, I'm, and this is two different things. I'm not talking about the audience. I'm not talking about the quality. Yes, it has to be quality. You have to understand it. I'm talking about if we're going to go and say, like Mike Stewart runs around town, every artist should be podcasting. Well, when you show up with a list of 20 things that should be done per podcast episode, they're going to say, you know what? That's awesome. It's really not for me. So what we have to do as a society is simplify things. It's like there's nothing that's more important than what's going on right now. And if you have the ability to get in the studio, get it recorded, get it done right, get it set up, you and I have that ability because I release mine on a schedule. I'm every Monday and every Thursday. So if I know I need to take extra time or I'm going to interview four or five people and include them into one episode, there's going to take some editing and things that are involved. But if we're just trying to get people to share their lives, the most successful people right now, more successful than any podcaster, more successful than anyone, are the Roman Atwoods of the world who are vlogging every day in real time. No fancy mic. They have their camera. There's no lights. There's no nothing. They put it out every single day. People, I think today, are tired of everything having such a pretty little bow on it because then their first thoughts is, are they trying to sell something to me? So for an artist, if I just say, look, we want what's going on behind the scenes in the studio, roll some tape, have your engineer roll some tape, make an episode out of it, talk about the story behind the song. That's when I think artists will start going, okay, this could be pretty cool. Because I agree. I think every artist should have a podcast channel. It gives them a chance to let fans know who they are. I think it really can help with their
brand. I think you have to look
at
the purpose of your podcast, though.
What's that?
So you have to look at the purpose of your podcast.
Correct.
So if what you're trying to do is get people connected to you in, let's say, a more authentic way, like I'm a real person, I shower, I buy groceries, I'm just like you. That's a great way for you to do a, you know, let's call it like a lower quality, just kind of off the cuff, not maybe you plan it out a little more spontaneous. But, you know, if you're trying to be an authority, that's a different thing. And I do feel that when somebody is in the audience, there's a reason the stage is above the audience, because the stage is setting you up to be an authority. You're trying to give somebody something to aspire to. And that, there's a reason why, let's say you've got Taylor Swift, you're a Taylor Swift person, you certainly know her. She dresses differently on stage than the people in her audience. There's a reason for that. She doesn't just come in whatever her audience
got
is wearing.
It. Nope. Yep.
So I think you've got to look at why you would podcast, especially as an artist, because you have various options like that. You can say, okay, here's going to be a tour diary and this is going to be a little bit more laid back. But if you want to have a professional image maybe, or, you know, continue to, you don't have to, you're not going to tell them everything about yourself as an artist because you want to give people something to aspire to.
So how would an artist effectively then become an authority on a podcast, in your opinion?
I think what you're trying to do is maybe not sell the dream, but you're living the dream. You're trying to take people on a journey, and they want that fantasy because the average person who's listening to music, the average person in general listening to music or not, their life is pretty boring. Like, well, you know, it really didn't turn out like I wanted it to. You know, I've gained a little weight. I'm not working a job that I want. I'm in debt. And they go to entertainment, which includes artists, music artists, and they look for some kind of relief from that. And it gives them something to aspire to. So I don't think there's any problem with saying, like, I am living this dream and I can be approachable. And I think that's something if you want to get back into
the
Taylor Swift.
But David, let's talk about the independent artist who isn't living the dream, who's chasing the dream. Yeah, I see what you're talking about for superstars, but that's not the people that are, there's very few of those folks. Let's talk about the independent artist who isn't living the dream, who's constantly in the struggle. That's so, is the podcast the right spot for them? Because it's like, hey, here's me fighting this battle to try to achieve my dream, and I want to take you along on the journey, blank, blank, blank. I don't,
well, whether
I don't
you're
care
taking
about
them along
superstars.
On the journey.
They're already superstars. How can we help the independent artist who isn't any better than their audience, who isn't any bigger yet? So what would your suggestions be for somebody like that?
Well, I think the main thing that we're talking about here, and I think this is where you and I probably agree on this, is what you're trying to do is you're trying to tell a story.
Yes.
So if you are somebody who you feel like you are your audience and you're trying to sell that story of like, I'm just a small town girl, I'm trying to make it in the big city of Nashville, Tennessee, that's the story that you're taking people on. Now, the other story is, here I am living the dream. So I think that maybe that's the point that I think will bridge what you and I are talking about, is that you do need to tell a story and you need to set that up. But what I disagree about is, and maybe I'm wrong, and correct me if I'm taking what you're saying the wrong way, is that you're simply going to get on the mic or get on video, however you Twitter, anything, and not have a plan.
No, you have to have a storyboard. I mean, everything I record has a plan, but it's like you can't – there's places for you to do spontaneous. We call that Instagram stories. We call that Instagram. You know, I think with everything that you have to have a reason behind why it is that you're doing it. So, yeah, no, the podcast has to be organized. Everything has to be organized. It's like you just don't whim that. But I think where the point is being missed here is that we're not talking about social media. Okay, that has its own purpose right now. What I'm trying to figure out is, and this is the conversation that I had with Mike, is that if we want to bring podcasting to the masses with these artists, there are certain things that we have to do if that's what it is that we want to accomplish. So I'm not talking about the artists yet. It's like no one wants more work. What we have to do is show them the value and the benefit by doing this. This is what you'll see from it. You'll see a better blank engagement. You'll see that, you know, fans feel more connected to you, which then grows your social media. You'll see that they get to know you more, which then grows your shows. But I think sometimes the mistake that's being made, at least by the people who've approached me, trying to get me to get every artist should be on the stage, is they come talking about the technical crap instead of the benefits from doing it.
Yeah, well, see, I don't talk about that. And you've got the book. It's 462 pages. None of it is technical. It's all about you sharing your message and here's how to do it.
Right, but we started this podcast episode about what? Stupid microphones.
Well, no, you brought that up because I've got a way that I do interviews.
Yeah, what I was saying is that it's that if you're going to be the guest on my podcast, we should do it my way. And if we're going to be the guest on your podcast, we should do it your way. That's
I got
what I'm
it,
saying.
Well, right. And I appreciate what you're doing, but you're going in a different direction than probably 95% of podcasters. So that is
explain that, because I can go look at my reviews and ratings and they're better than 95% of podcasters because I have a connection with my audience. I go look at a lot of these guys or gals with big quote unquote podcasts and I go and they got 9 reviews or this. So explain what you mean by I'm going against the grain of 95%. You mean as far as just sporadically recording and doing all that kind of stuff?
No, I'm talking about you're not worried about the technical elements at all. Now, I think that where you're succeeding, and this is why people are going to connect with you, is I think that you have, and this is the thing that I would tell an artist to do, you've got a personality. When Rick Barker shows up, I don't even have to hear your voice. You could use a different voice. You could use it, whatever, no photos, anything. I'm going to know it's you from what you say.
Got it.
And part of that, too, is not only the personality, but it's the point of view. So I think those are the kind of things that are making your podcast successful. It's not necessarily everything else. So, you know, you can talk about mics or whatever. And I think people do get too caught up in mics. As I mentioned, I'm on a $60, $70 mic and I've got all this gear in front of me just because this is an easier connection right now just for this particular interview. And it sounds fine. But when I'm recording myself, if I'm going to do like an audiobook or something, there's going to be a different level of equipment. So I think that we're probably on the same page as that. I don't think every artist necessarily needs a podcast, so I'm not necessarily making it easy. I mean, it's already easy. I got a $60 mic plugged into my computer.
Sure.
Easy, done. But the issue is not that. The issue is not even the time. It's the issue that most artists, and I'd love your opinion on this, but this is my opinion, they have no personality or they're trying to copy somebody else's personality.
Agreed.
They also don't have a point of view. I've got artists come in to my show, which is called Music Business Radio, broadcast radio show about the music industry. And that's how you and I connected because I was working in the industry at the time. And they will defer a question that I ask to their management. I don't know. What do I think about that? Well, that's not a true artist, is it? Because I want my artist, even if it's wrong, even for example, let's say it's even from a performance aspect, even if it's a bad note, I still want you to get up there on stage and go balls out with it. Don't make out.
Yep.
I don't want to see you just wait for everything to be perfect. That's not art. So I think that's what's missing. And I think that's a perfect opportunity to share that I guess we'll call it personality, call it point of view via a podcast. It just drives that home even more. And that's why I like it. But not everybody should have a podcast. Just in the same way. Not everybody should be doing music.
Right. And I mean, for me, it's like I avoided a podcast for a long time. I went the easy route. I took video, stripped the audio, threw it up on Spreaker. And it was until I sat down with someone who's a professional and said, hey, this is why you should be doing it. This is the structure you should be doing it. This is how to be doing it. I didn't even realize how many people listen to podcasts. More people now come up to me and say things like, dude, I listen to your podcast, or but then say, hey, I downloaded your book because I use the podcast to get downloads for my book. Speaking of books, let's talk about yours, because the only way that people are going to understand the value of what it is that we're discussing. Now, let me explain, too, for some people that may have just tuned in for the first time. This is your first time hearing this. David and I have almost a 10-year relationship. I was a guest on his show. He sent me a copy of his book, The Six-Figure Musician. At the time, everybody was begging me to write a book. I read his book, and I'm like, holy crap, this is the book I would have written. So I started promoting the heck out of his book. We've stayed friends. He's gone through some transitions. His wife, now wife, at a time was doing all the photography for earlier clients. So we've had a relationship for a long time. And that's why we're able to have this kind of discussion that we're having right now, because one, we both respect each other's point of view, but we also are two personalities that if we don't agree with something, we say it, but we do it in a respectful way. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, let's talk about that for just a second. If you're doing a podcast, it's the same saying, if everybody in the room agrees, you really don't need everybody in the room. You just need that one person.
Correct.
So it's good to have these discussions, because you as a listener, you can say, well, I believe Rick more. I believe David more. And it doesn't even matter. You pick what you want. And the same thing with the book. The book isn't telling you how to do something. It's giving you best practices, in my opinion, and take it or leave it.
Well, and the thing, too, is that this is what you do every day. And what I tell people, too, is if everyone has the same goal, and David and I both have a goal on this podcast, is one, to excite you about wanting to podcast. If we have the same goal, disagreements and different points of view are healthy. If we have different goals, then we're just arguing, and nobody benefits from just arguing. So the whole point of me wanting to bring David on to this podcast, and what we were laughing about, or what I was talking about, we were laughing about, is that when we first got on here, I asked him, I said, are we doing your podcast or are we doing my podcast? Because David has multiple podcasts. And that's how this conversation got started, because I said, well, if we're doing mine, shouldn't we be using the tools that I normally use? And then David's like, yeah, but I got this cool setup. And so that's where this conversation started. You guys came in on the tail end of this thing. So now that we're caught up, David has a book that I have. And don't be intimidated when he says it's over 400 pages. It's a very easy read. But what it does is it's breaking down, and here's basically, it's right on the front page. grow your podcast audience, build listener loyalty, and get everybody talking about your show. Dave, let's talk a little bit about, first off, why you decided to write this book, why it took you so long to write it, because I know you've been doing that. Yeah. And what is it that people, that your hopes are from this? My hopes are this. You tell me yours, and I'll tell you what my hopes are for this book and why I'm excited to promote it.
Well, why it took so long, first of all, it took 4.5 years. And part of that was just me. I was transitioning from the music industry. I'd been in it 20 something years working with music marketing. And I felt that there was an opportunity to share what I had known from the music industry to other people and other types of people. And the reason I like podcasting is because I think it's important people have discussions like this. We don't have to agree. And I think we're more similar than different when we do have these conversations. So let's get people talking and let's come up with the best way to do something, the best way to live, the best way to run our government, whatever. But we've got to talk in order to do that. So that is that's the reason why I do it. And I think what podcasting is when I started in the music industry in the mid-90s, that was when independent music was really taking off and the technology was there and you could do your own album and you didn't have to go through the major label system. Distribution wasn't quite there. It's not certainly what it is now with the digital distribution, but it was better and we could do things that we weren't able to do before. And I saw that in podcasting. It's a way to spread your message. And sometimes your message is music, sometimes it's not. I'm still ironically getting dragged back into the music industry because now labels are coming to me saying like, hey, help us promote our artists. So I'm still working with that, but it's, you've got to have something to say. And that's what I think makes a good artist and what I think makes a good podcaster. So there are a lot of parallels there. It's just like independent music all over again for me. And that's why I'm so passionate about it.
So with what you've done, you know, like I said, if people are going to get this book and take a chance to listen to it, take us through your process, you know, take 5 minutes and explain. Okay. So I just got done listening to this podcast, super excited about it. I'm going to go get David's book. But in the meantime, what are the things that they should, if they want to get started immediately, some people are like that. What are the 4 or 5 things that you think they need to have in place first before popping the mic and recording that first podcast?
Well, so let's talk about technique, first of all. And I'm sure you've got opinions on this. You're a radio guy. You spent more time in radio than I have, or at least the same amount of time, at least. I mean, right. 15 years of live radio, you were saying. So that's a long, long time, and you're great on the mic. Let's talk about how to get good. My opinion is that you need to do a couple of things. One, you need to get good at reading and making it sound like you're not reading. So those are some things that you can practice, just reading, making it sound like you're not reading, but also just speaking and being clear about things, not mumbling, not getting blah, 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 you know, over. So get used to speaking on the mic. This is the great thing about it for artists is you're used to speaking on a mic, some more than others. You're probably more used to singing on a microphone, but that stage banter, that's going to help you with your podcast. So I think, you know, transitioning from that into speaking without a live audience, that's sometimes kind of weird. I've seen people sometimes will put like a picture of an audience in front of them and they'll pretend, or stuffed animals or whatever you need to do to say like, I am speaking to you because somebody is listening. And it is weird to stay. I'm in a closet right now with a bunch of padding and kind of a sound booth type thing. And it's weird to speak to yourself. So you can get used to speaking to yourself, reading, and just getting over the general technical hurdles that you would have as far as speaking. How did you get good on the mic, Rick? You seem like you were always a talker.
It's funny that you say that, though, is because I was very awkward in the very beginning of my radio career because I had a hard time talking and knowing that someone was out there. I actually put up a picture of my roommate, Heidi, at the time, and I told the weather to Heidi. I told Heidi about the traffic. I told Heidi about the songs that I was playing. You know, right. I did it that way. But I also, yeah, for me, it was just doing it over and over. I was very, very awkward in the beginning because I was trying to be too perfect. I was trying to read everything. I'm better by not reading. So it's I understand what I'm going to talk about. I've got some bullet points, but I do better off the fly. Not everyone's like that. Some people, you know, if your podcast is interview, you want to create your own interview style. We just talked about that a lot at your last meeting. You know, it's like, what makes a good podcast? Sometimes if you send people the questions ahead of time, it becomes boring. If all you're doing is talking about their Wikipedia page, people, that doesn't make your podcast any more exciting because you're giving people, you're reading the same questions that every other person would answer. So,
if you want to be a good podcaster,
you're right about determining your style.
here are the four things that you would need if you're going to do an interview show, especially. And this is also if you're going to do a solo show, just talking to people or do a co-hosted show, you need to be good at listening, because that's the first part of it, especially if you're doing an interview. Obviously, speaking, which I talked about, you need to be able to plan something. So it's not going to Wikipedia and just doing that linear interview like, so how did you get started? Bam, bam, bam. Here's where you are now. That kind of stuff is boring if you're going to do an interview. But being able to plan what I call a hook or a linear thread through something, saying like, what is – if I had Rick Barker to come in, let's talk about your career, for example, but what is the thread that – connects your entire career, so I can transition from your work with Taylor Swift to your work with independent artists,
right,
to your work with maybe even non-musicians. What is the thread that connects that? And then you've got to be good at adjusting. And this is where a lot of people get thrown off, especially when that red light is on and they get nervous. It's like, everybody starts with a plan. You know, when I started, I've got this story in the book. This is kind of how I started. When I started, I remember calling a girl when I was 16 years old. I was excited to meet her. And or to take her out, and I had the entire script for the conversation laid out. Hello, is Beth there? And if she is, great. If not, okay, I'll call back. I had the whole thing through like a flow chart. And we do something very similar with our interviews sometimes, where people are transitioning and they're asking the questions or they're thinking about the questions ahead of time. I didn't know how this thing was going to go. You didn't give me a whole lot of information on exactly what you wanted to talk about. And we're transitioning. You move one way, I move the other. I move one way, you move the other. And it's like a dance.
Yep.
So those are the technical elements. I would say as far as just something to say, because people say, oh, what am I going to talk about? I'm going to take you back to those couple things I said earlier, personality and point of view. You really need to have that. It can't be the same podcast that I could get anywhere else.
Yeah, I like that. It's you know, I look at like, you know, Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. They'll have their full episodes, then they'll have their 5-minute bite-sized morsels one day. They'll do 3 in a week. What do you suggest, or what have you found that's worked? Do you start with the once a week just to kind of get your feet wet, put less pressure on yourself for always having to have content? What would you suggest?
Well, you could do that. You could do once a week. I think the consistency – you can say this and how this has helped your podcast. You said you do it 2 times a week.
Yeah, they release Mondays and Thursdays, and everybody knows they're coming Mondays and Thursdays.
Everybody knows it. People are expecting it, and you have worked your way into the lives of people. So that's going to be the same way for any podcast. You know, I think for a beginning podcaster, one of the things we don't talk about, people think interviews would be easier because you've got – you know, we're used to having conversations from the time we were little. We're not necessarily used to monologuing, so therefore we think interviews are easier. But you've got issues with technical things like we've been joking around about. You've got issues with whatever, finding good people.
Right.
A quick monologue, if I were an artist, if we were going to try to take people on the journey and tell that story, and you gave a great example, Rick, of like, let's let fans get behind this thing that I'm growing, and let's take them along on the journey of it. You could just say, hey, you know, I just played a gig. I played a showcase. There are a couple record executives there. I was really nervous, and it didn't go as well as I thought it would, but it went okay, and here's what happened. And you could take them on that journey. In fact, if you wanted an additional episode, you could do something like, hey, I'm on the way to the showcase. I'm getting ready to do it. And then you could follow up afterwards. So you're literally taking them on that journey in the real time.
That's funny you say that, because that's what I have them currently do with Instagram Live and Instagram Stories, is to say, hey, on my way in the studio, getting ready to write, can't wait tonight to get together to share the song with you.
Yeah. So you could expand on that. And here's what's great about a podcast as opposed to Instagram Stories. Instagram, the stories, they disappear
in 24 hours. Yeah.
And the other thing is that with video, that requires a lot of attention. So if you were to do an audio only podcast, you could have somebody who's in the gym listening to you, somebody in the car listening to you. I'm not saying you shouldn't do Instagram. Maybe you want to do it both and simulcast it and have a podcast, because some people like video better than audio.
Do an Instagram story to tell people to go listen to your podcast where you go.
Well, you could totally do that.
Yeah, where you go even deeper into it.
You could totally do that. And this thing bounces off each other. I think when you have a live performance, as a lot of artists do, you've got mailing lists, you've got Instagram, you've got — it's all the same thing, just like that skill set I was talking about where you're on stage talking. Well, just put a microphone in front of yourself and use those same skills to do a podcast. Or you're a writer. You're already great if you're a writer at telling stories and song, because that's what songs are. They're stories. So you can tell stories within your podcast.
You can do a podcast episode on every single one of your songs you've ever written.
Well, you know, that's if you listen to Spotify, and you've been to Spotify lately, and
they're buying up podcasting companies left and right.
Well, they are. And if you go and you'll see a special edition of a record where they have the artist himself or herself talking about the song, here's what the song is about, and here's how we recorded it, and this is the story behind it. That's a podcast. It can also be a bonus episode that you release on Spotify. So you can multi-purpose this stuff, but it's going to get you thinking about it. It's going to get you clear. That's the other benefit that we don't talk about, is that even if nobody listens to your podcast, this is going to get you very clear on your message. It's going to get you better at speaking. It's going to get you better at organizing things. It's going to get you better at listening. It's going to get you – there's so many benefits to doing it. I don't know why somebody wouldn't do it.
Also, too, I think it gives you a different level of credibility, the same way being a book author does.
Sure.
Hey, you know, host of the Music Industry Blueprint podcast, you know, author of the 150 – you know, it's like when you're able to say author and host and things like that, it brings some certain credibility, too. What I also want folks to understand is this is actually one of my longer versions. Don't think that you can get away with 5, 6, 7, 8 minute long podcast episodes, and some people actually enjoy bite-sized nuggets, things that are to chew on. It's like if I'm doing a rant or I'm giving my opinion on something, they're usually less than 15 minutes. If I've got a guest that can really bring value to you, like David, to you guys, it's going to be 30, 45 minutes. I think I've gone an hour one time in 116 episodes, but we were talking about music and sync, and that's a very important topic for a lot of people. So know that there is no cookie cutter model. The only thing that I did when launching my podcast that I thought was smart was I released with 5 episodes, and then I had another 5 in the tank so that I could release them and not be pressured, so that if people consume the first episode, they're like, okay, let me see if I like this guy. I'll consume the second. Is that still something that you guys are encouraging people to do, to release multiple at one time?
You know, in the book, and this is controversial, I've been answering questions about this all week.
Oh, wow.
I tell people to launch with 25.
Wow.
And the reason I do that,
awesome.
Well, here, let me tell you why I do it. Because, so let's say I like Rick Barker, and I will learn about the music industry, is I will go to you know, you're doing the promotion already, right? So I'm going to go and I'm going to look at your podcast. I'm going to look at the topics that interest me. So if you're talking about sync, great. Live performance, great. I like that one. I'm going to download this one that talks about stories from the road with Taylor Swift. I'm going to get that one. And what you want when you've got a brand new podcast is you've got that one moment where I'm going to look it up for the first time, and as we talked about, Rick, is you want to be woven into the lives of the people who are listening.
Right.
So the more I start to listen, the more you can get me on the front end. If you're going to front load it, the more likely I am to continue to subscribe.
Got
so
it.
That's why I do 25. 5 is certainly great. If you've got hot topics, that's good. A lot of people launch with 1 and they're inconsistent. And I agree with you. It's nice to have something in the can, because, you know, life happens, and sometimes podcasting just isn't that fun. It's a lot of work.
David, I don't know if there's a magic answer for this, but two, with what you were just saying there with having 25, and if someone went down into your podcast and downloaded 8 episodes right away immediately, wouldn't that help with the algorithm to get you maybe in the new and noteworthy section if that many downloads are happening right away?
All right. So this is also controversial. So we're talking about on Apple Podcasts, something called New and Noteworthy, and also the Apple Podcast charts. So how I base how I think Apple Podcast charts work is based on my music business work, which is promoting records, trying to get people to download music, not podcasts from the same store. Most people in the podcasting industry, they say the only thing that matters is subscriptions. So you've got to have somebody subscribe, and that'll help boost you up the charts. That'll help get you the New and Noteworthy that you're talking about, which is a special section just for people who with a brand new or noteworthy podcast. So that's a little bit extra promotion for you. My experience with music has been the more reviews you have and the more downloads you have, you're going to come up in the search engine results more frequently because you're more a popular podcast, let's
engaged.
Say.
Engaged. Yeah, music. You're engaged. Yep.
And that's going to get you the subscriptions, which maybe in the end that counts. But it doesn't hurt to have reviews. It doesn't hurt to have as many downloads as possible.
Got it. Yeah, because it's a lot. You get more downloads if you got 25 to choose from than just the one.
Well, yeah, definitely. But, you know, again, the thing is what you're trying to do is you're trying to have that fan engagement, and you're trying to get people to know you, like you, trust you. And Rick, you know, you and I met, like, I think I'd seen your stuff online, but before I got you in the radio, I came down to see you were doing these live events. That's a different kind of connection than we would have had if it was just email or if it was phone or if it was something like this. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to get people connected in various ways. And the great thing about podcasts that it kind of tricks the brain is because you can listen to them anywhere. So if I'm listening to you while I'm at the gym, but I'm also listening to you while I'm at home, that's almost like meeting you two different places.
Correct.
And it's tricking the brain to think, ooh, I've got more rapport than Rick than maybe I actually do.
Got it.
That's going to get your listeners engaged a little bit more than they would have if it was just like the same thing every time.
And another thing too, those of you that are out there, it's like this is an added weapon to your arsenal. This isn't to replace anything. You know, a lot of people always, it's like I use my podcast to promote. I have received more downloads of my book because I can send people from my podcast to the book or to get into my world than I have through social media. But I have to use social media in order to promote the podcast. These all work together, you know? So it's like if you're not good at speaking, then a podcast probably isn't right for you. These are all just various tools that we show that are available. It's like with singing. If you're not good at singing yet, don't start singing. Go take vocal lessons and get good at it. You don't have to release a podcast just because it's available to be out there.
But stick with it, though.
Drugs are also available. You don't have to do them, too, just because they're out there. So we're giving you another tool to take a look at. If it fits in your personality, if it fits, if you've got work ethic, the worst thing you could do is start something, do it for 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 episodes and then stop. That's why I love David's idea of practicing. This is just another tool, but also, too, is it's also a business. So before you start your business, you might want to understand the business you're getting into, and that's where the big podcast book by David Hooper comes into play. I will make sure. David, where can they go find out more about you? I'll make sure in the show notes and in all my socials that they have this, but where's the best place they can find you?
If you go to bigpodcast.com, that has everything. And speaking of getting started, I've got actually up there right now 25 episode templates. So if you don't have any idea what you want to talk about, I've got various plug and play, various ideas that you just say, oh, I'd like to talk about this topic. And I'll give you the more or less the script on what you need to do in the organization to get an episode out and just try it. It doesn't have to be released. The chances are nobody's listening to it in the very beginning anyway. So it's a perfect time for you to experiment, fail, and then move on to something great. And that's what people will listen to.
Also, too, at the airing of this episode, there's a big event coming up in Nashville. Let's talk about Nashville Podcast Day.
Oh, yeah. That's great. That's going to be a great way if you're in Nashville to get connected with other podcasters. And we do these meetups every month, and they are always on the second Wednesday. So the second Wednesday of the month, you can come to the Nashville Entrepreneur Center, which is the exact address if you want to put in your GPS, 41 Peabody Street. It's right downtown. Rick, you were the last one. You've been to a few of these, and it's a great way to connect with other people who are in not only the podcasting industry. There are a lot of music industry people there, too, just because Nashville is such a big music industry town.
It was a lot of fun, and I think, too, that you know more of these meetups are starting to happen around the area, no matter where you're listening to this. You may want to start your own meetup. It's a great way to lock up your next guests for the next year if you needed to, but tell someone, and we'll end with this, if they were wanting to start a meetup in their local area of other podcasters, how would you approach that and how would you go about doing that? I think what you guys have done here is fantastic. How can that be duplicated?
Well, there's meetup.com, and you can certainly fly your flag there and say, I've got a meeting on this date and at this place, and then people will find you through meetup.com. What I would do if you were in Walla Walla, Washington, let's say, and if you're in Walla Walla, I would go on a podcaster, maybe a Facebook group or a message board, and I would say, hey, I'm getting together with some other podcasters. If you're near Walla Walla, here's when we're going to do it. And I would advertise there and let people know your interest. People are waiting for you to start these things, and they're waiting to connect with other people. And Rick, that's the live event where you and I met. You flew your flag. You were doing these, I guess, monthly meetups,
right,
where you would get up and talk, and it was an amazing thing. I don't know how they started because
two
I probably
old
came
hippies.
In. two old hippies every month. And by the time I got down there, you had at least, 30, 40 people, sometimes even more every single month. And this was not easy to get to. It's downtown. You were making people work for it,
was
man.
It was a store. It wasn't even like a real venue. We got kicked out every night at 8 o'clock because they had to shut the doors. Now I do them at a new place called Home over in East Nashville. But yeah, but it was an opportunity to get in front of people. People were putting out fold-out chairs in between racks of clothes. It was pretty funny to watch. Some of the old videos are there. It's fun.
Well, they did have a stage, though. To say it was a store, it wasn't like you over by the dairy section or something
that. No. It was, they did have a performance stage. It's called Two Old Hippies if you guys are in Nashville ever. But it wasn't as accommodating as it could have been, like speaking at the Entrepreneur Center. But hey, you take what you get sometimes, you know?
Well, it wasn't perfect, but you did it. And I enjoyed going to those
for a year and a half. Because,
they were great because it was a great way to connect with people. My wife met a lot of photography clients down there. I met some people that did records with or whatever with, and it was great.
That's wonderful. Well, man, I appreciate you taking the time. Congrats again on the book. All of you guys should pick it up. It's called Big Podcast, but go to bigpodcast.com. Everything you need to know about David is there. And we'll talk again sooner rather than later. I'll see you in a few weeks at the Nashville podcast event.
Yes, sir. Always great to talk to you, Rick.
All right. That was a lot of fun. Thank you very much, David. And don't forget, go grab his book, Big Podcast by David Hooper. Also, too, if you wouldn't mind, leave a review for this podcast, wherever it is that you listen to it. I greatly appreciate it. Also, I have my book that I would love to give you. My gift to you. I've already paid for the hard copy. If you would like it, just pick up the shipping. Or if you just want a free digital copy, head on over to musicindustrytheblueprint.com and I will check you out on the next episode. See ya.
You've been listening to the Music Industry Blueprint podcast with Rick Barker. You can follow Rick on Twitter at Rick Barker Music. And remember, you don't drown by falling into the water, you drown by staying there.